But he is coming, and when he comes, the dry lands will rejoice and they will blossom. The dry lands. I've only been to the desert a couple of times in my life. In October of 1995, I was very fortunate and blessed, that's sarcasm, because the U.S. Army sent my unit to the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, in the Mojave Desert for 30 days of desert warfare training. I remember it was October of 95 because we were shipped out in the midst of the O.J. Simpson trial. Y'all remember that? When we got back in from the field, nobody had cell phones back then. There were no smartphones. We didn't know if O.J. was guilty or innocent. We still don't know. But one of the things that struck me at the National Training Center in the desert was that there was nothing living, or very little. There were no plants. There was no water that could be seen. Just rocks, sand, and dust. Spectacular sunrises to the east and beautiful sunsets to the west. In the daytime, it would hit 110 degrees, and at nighttime, drop down to 28. It's a brutal, hard land. And you had to be careful everywhere you went because there were predators present. Tarantulas roaming the ground. Scorpions were there. I learned I didn't like either one of those. But that image of nothingness being turned into a fertile garden, that's one of beauty and love and joy. Isaiah is writing 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he declares that just as God renews the land, so will humanity be renewed. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. In the new creation, in the time that is to come, there will be no hurt, there will be no pain, there will be no brokenness, because that all falls outside of the perfect plan of God. If you are sick, you will be made well. What will happen to those at this time who've been made righteous by God, who have submitted to God's glory? And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will know about it. Only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's beautiful imagery of a highway, of an interstate, right? It's a road to freedom. Perhaps an autobahn of sorts where there is no speed limit. I love highways. I like to drive on them. I like to travel on them because typically there are no stoplights. I have a title in my family. There's a name that only my closest relatives refer to me as, the Stoplight King. I am the master of all stoplights. Coming here this morning at 6:35 in the morning, I hit every single stoplight from Broadway Extension down Broadway to the church. There were no other cars on the road. And I was stopped at every single stoplight. I have never prayed for God to give me the gift of patience. If I had, it could be even worse. This is a season of the year when we should be particularly aware of Scripture that speaks to us in the tone that Isaiah's reading does this morning. We all live in a world that is dry and it's thirsting for words of truth and love. Our culture has turned Christmas into a time of being nice and giving presents to one another. Now, there's nothing wrong with being nice. In fact, we could all do better in the be nice department, myself included. Idina Menzel, the voice of Elsa on Frozen and Frozen 2. How many have seen Frozen or Frozen 2? Oh. After you see those movies, you can't get those songs out of your head. But Idina Menzel, the voice of Elsa, has a new Christmas album out. It's a bestseller. There's 18 songs on the album. 18. One of the 18 speaks of the true reason and meaning of the season. She has a combination of Ave Maria and O Holy Night. In a time of reflecting and celebrating truth, Idina Menzel claims her own truth in the songs that we sing. That just being nice to people will change the world. Being nice to people will help the world. Being nice to people is a call of Christian people everywhere. But we are called to a higher purpose than being nice. As Christian people, we do not believe there is a multiple understandings of truth. There is one truth. And our truth is not a philosophy. Our truth is not a theology or some kind of thing that has to be pondered deeply. Truth is a human being. A human being, a historical figure who lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. And gave himself to redeem us. As I shared with the kids earlier, one of my all-time favorite television programs is A Charlie Brown Christmas. And it was initially broadcast on December 9th, 1965. As the show was being developed by CBS, the higher-ups were working with Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, and they indicated to Mr. Schulz that they did not want any kind of gospel message to be presented in the cartoon. They wanted it to be a cartoon about being nice. And Charles Schulz refused any further work on the project. He was under contract. He was under obligation to create the series. And he refused unless the gospel, the true meaning of Christmas, could be presented. CBS relented. And many of us have that very special vision of Linus holding his blanket at the very end of the show, reciting from heart the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. The public then, and still today, loves to hear Linus tell the Christmas story. It is a faithful public witness testimony regarding the love of God for God's people. By becoming weak, God shamed the strong. Being a baby and raised in a poor family made God vulnerable. But through this human weakness and his meekness, God in Christ arrived on the scene to break the power and the hold of darkness, to bring water and gardens to the deserts of our lives, and to secure for us our redemption. I'm going to potentially hurt feelings right now because I'm going to share with you the truth of the Christmas story and not what you're used to hearing at school plays and pageants and on television. There is this image in our minds that when Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem from Nazareth to register in Joseph's hometown, As we read in Luke chapter 2, right, Quirinius, the governor, calls for this census to be made. And that they go to all the homes and they get rejected. There is no room. And then we read, there was no room for them in the inn. It almost feels like they went to the Holiday Inn Express right there in Bethlehem. And there was no rooms available. But the manager said, you know, I don't have a room for you, but out back, we've got a garage. Why don't you go stay in the garage? And there'll be some animals back there that you can hang out with. That's kind of the image that we have in our mind, right? Nobody would help this young family. And they were cast aside and sent out to a stable with straw and manure all by themselves. Mary, probably a girl 13 to 15 years old. And Joseph was to care for her by himself? I never thought much about this story until I met some friends from the Middle East, from Christians from Israel and Lebanon, Jordan and Syria, North Africa. And when they come to the United States and they hear and they experience how we tell this story, they are mortified and they are offended because the Middle Eastern cultures are a shame culture. And if you saw a young woman who was about to give birth at any moment and a young man with her who obviously could not care for her on his own, to cast them away would to bring shame upon their home. Bethlehem is a very small village. Joseph's family is from there. They know who Joseph is. They would not be refused a place and sent out back to have a baby. The word that is used for inn is the Greek word phatein. Phatein. That exact same word is used in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus tells his disciples to go into Jerusalem. This is during Holy Week, and to secure an upper room for them to have and observe the Passover. He tells his disciples, go and find us a catalua. A catalua. First century homes had two floors typically. You lived on the main floor, you slept on the upper floor, or outside on the top of the roof when it was really hot outside. That word cataluma means the upper room. That is not the word for a commercial motel. They were told, Mary, Joseph, we don't have any room upstairs anymore. Everything's full of people coming to town for the census. But don't worry. You will stay with us in our house, in our home on the main level. Almost all families had a milking cow or goats in which they could get fresh milk every day. And they brought their cow or their goats in every single night into their home to protect them. And every home, when you walked in the front door, had a dug-out stone manger. So more than likely what happened that very first Christmas was that this young girl and her terrified husband were invited into the very bosom of a loving Jewish home. And that family cared for Mary, and they loved her. And they made sure that she was safe and that the baby was taken care of. And they wrapped him in cloths. And he was placed in that manger right in the very heart of that family. That's how that story is understood throughout the non-Western world. When I've shared this with churches in the past, some folks got mad at me. You just ruined Christmas. We can't do the Christmas pageant anymore. But I invite you to ponder that deeper. The most humblest of people, a baby, God himself came into the world in humble circumstances, into the home of a family that loved God deeply and cared for the mother of God, Mary. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And that this babe, this great redeemer, coming from nothing to kill the power of sin, was given two names. His name is Jesus, and his word is Emmanuel. Jesus, or Yeshua, means God saves. Emmanuel means God with us. And these names effectively describe what this sacrificial man is. They demonstrate the depth of God's love and the redemption of his people. Who is he? He is Emmanuel, God with us. What does he do? What is his purpose? He is Yeshua. He saves. As you journey through the holiday season, I encourage you to reflect on your lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Is there brokenness? Is there grief? Is there despair? Is there hurt, hunger, animosity towards family members? Do you struggle with chronic illness or pain? The one who makes all things new has come, and he is coming again. He desires a relationship with you, and he wants to know you in a deeply personal way, that you matter, that you have value, that you are not here by mistake, that your life is precious to him, and that you are cherished. God desires for us to walk on the highway called the Way of Holiness. There we will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy with crown our hearts. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be all the glory. Amen.